This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled What Led to the Birth of Jesus, was delivered on December 8th, 2019. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Amen. Go ahead, ushers. I never forget any announcements, though. If I did, remind me now. All right. Thank you, ushers. Give the ushers a hand. And our parking lot ladies, thank you so much. Where are they? They're out there someplace. They're out there, right? You guys not underneath a car or anything, right? Okay. Man. Yeah. You know, it was such a beautiful day yesterday. And my family decided that we're going to go to Kona. And I was thinking like, man, it's a beautiful sunny day and we're leaving town? I was like, oh. And I thought, I could do so much things around the house and the yard that I couldn't do all week. But then I said, well, you know what? I get to spend time with my family. And that was a beautiful time. And we went to the ocean. I threw in a line, didn't catch much of anything, but had fun. Yeah, watching the fish eat all my bait. Yeah. Whew, you guys ready for, anybody finished their Christmas shopping? Three out of 100. What kind of percent? Are we? Maybe come December 8th, I need to talk about procrastination or something. Guys, get on it. But you know what? Don't worry if you didn't, because it's not about the gift. It's about Jesus. So go give. If you didn't get anything, take one of those yes booklets, put it in an envelope. Merry Christmas. Give the gift of Jesus. That's the best thing you can give. Amen? Yes. So yeah, last week we talked about the coming of Jesus and why. And this week we're going to look at what led to the birth of Jesus. And like you said, if you think about this world, man, it's a pretty bad, corrupt, bad place. And you think about it, you know, the Bible calls this a crooked and perverse generation. And if you can imagine, if Jesus was never born and we never ever had a way to connect back to God, what would it be like? Some sources say that Christians make up maybe 27% of the world's population, 2.1 billion out of some 7.6 plus billion people on earth. If you can comprehend that number, I cannot. My mind doesn't go that far. I'm not a math person, you can tell. But that may seem like much, 2.1 billion. But if you think 2.1 billion who try to live according to the Bible, and if Jesus didn't come, then all 7.6 billion plus people on this earth, everyone would be lost. They would be a slave to sin, and this world would be worse than it is now. As Christians, you and I, we make a big deal about Christmas and Easter. See, our hope rests on these two events, and if these two events never happen, then I tell you, you know what, just go home, because They would have no hope. This would be No Hope East Hawaii. Because if Jesus wasn't born and he didn't get crucified, really, this would be just a Sunday social gathering. And we would have no hope of eternity with God if these two events never happened. The birth and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why, as Christians, we make a big deal out of it, because it is a big deal. So this morning, we're going to look at what led to the birth of Jesus. So this morning, number one, the fall of man. Now, in Genesis, and it starts from the beginning, what led to the birth of Jesus. If you have your Bible, you open up to the first book, and it started in Genesis chapter 3. That's the beginning of what led to the birth of Jesus. Genesis 3, 1 to 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, who was Eve, "Indeed, has God said, 'You shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, 'You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that its fruit was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. You know, first of all, why would God put such a tree where we can reach it? You think, like, why did you put that? I mean, I probably wouldn't want, before my wife could get it, I would probably try and chop it down or burn it. Yeah. Maybe they didn't have fire back then, or tools, who knows. But God, I believe God gave us a choice to obey or to disobey, because he loves us. And he didn't want to make our obedience like we have to, because there's no other choice. We got to obey him because there's nothing else we can do. But he gave us a choice, just like he does today. When you got up this morning, you had a choice. Shall I watch football? Some really good games, and I got some heavy-duty money on these games. Should I sleep in? You know, it's kind of cold. When it's cold, is it harder to get up? Yeah. You know, and you had a choice. God gave you that choice. Why? Because he loves you, and he will give you that choice. Satan convinced Eve to forget all that God had given her, and instead got her to focus on what God had forbidden. And we fall into trouble when we dwell on what God forbids rather than the countless blessings of God's promises that he has given us. Sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves and look at all what we don't have. And when that happens, we need to stop. We need to consider what we do have and thank God. Then our doubts won't lead us to sin. When they took and they ate of their fruit, sin and death entered the world. And we look at this as the fall of man. And when God discovered that they ate of the fruit, he said, this is what he said to the serpent. And this is the beginning of the promise of why, of the birth of Jesus. Genesis 3:15. "And I will put enmity," which is hostility, "between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise you on the heel, and you shall bruise him on the head." Satan, okay, is our enemy. He'll do anything he can to get us to follow his evil, deadly path. The phrase, "you will strike his heel," refers to Satan's attempts to defeat Christ during his life on earth. Remember when the devil met Jesus in the wilderness and he was trying to tempt him to do all these things? That was like nipping you on the heel. "And then he will strike your head" is a foreshadow of Satan's defeat when Christ rose from the dead. See, if you ever had something bite you on the heel, or you step on a rock on your heel, it's not so bad, right? But you know, when you're walking around and when you see one centipede coming across your way. What do? You get your heel in. Yeah? Smash him in the head. Right? Deadly. He ain't gonna bite nobody. And that's what he's mean. He will strike your head. Okay, because a strike on the heel, when something nips at your heel, is not so bad. But when your heel gives a blow to the head, whoo, TKO, out, tap out, dead, pow. God was revealing his plan to defeat Satan and to offer salvation to the world through his son, Jesus Christ. Notice I like how the scripture says, and between your seed, the seed of Satan, and her seed. Now, we all know women don't have seed. They have eggs. Men has the seed. But he puts your seed. Why? Because it was a virgin birth. You know, the Bible said that he will be born of a virgin. And it mentioned that her seed, because Jesus was born of a virgin. So, because of the fall of man, Jesus was planning this way so that we could come back to him. And that's why Jesus was leading to the birth of Jesus. The next one was the timing of God. And his return, there was no better time for him to come back. You know, before he came back, they said there was like 400 years of silence. The name given between the period of the last of the Old Testament prophets and the arrival of Jesus. And it began with Malachi's prediction of Elijah's return around 430 BC and ended with the symbolic fulfillment, the coming of John the Baptist around 6 to 4 BC. Malachi 4:5, behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. You know, and there's not much scripture detailing this 400 years, but a lot of things have happened. And Malachi set the stage, and many Jews had returned, okay? They came back to Israel from the Medo-Persian Empire that was keeping them captive, and they came back and rebuilt the temple. And they was experiencing a little revival under the influence of Ezra, the scribe. But a lot of them, they still did not live as God had instructed them. You know, the Israelite men still mistreated their wives. They still married women who didn't follow the Lord. They refused to honor God with their giving. And meanwhile, the priests, they neglected their temple and their responsibility to teach God's laws. Then, during this 400 years, the Jewish homeland was taken over from the Persians by the Greeks. And then the Egyptians came in, and then the Greek language became the common language during this time. And that's how they got a lot of the Old Testament into Greek, which we call the Septuagint. And then the Jews continued to practice the law of Moses in the temple, the rituals, until the Syrian took over Jerusalem in like 204 BC. And then Antioch Epiphanes, that's when he really desecrated the holies of holies in the temple, the most holy place. And then during this time, the Jews, led by the Maccabee brothers, they retook control over Jerusalem in 165 BC. And then the Romans came in after that, and that's why when we left in the Maccabeans was the Persians. And then when we open up in Matthew, well, what happened? Now the Romans are in charge here. And a lot of things happened during this 400 years. And a lot of prophecies from Daniel were fulfilled during those times. And, you know, there was a lot of other books that was written, but they say those books wasn't God-breathed. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture inspired by God, profitable for teaching, reproof for correction and training in righteousness. Well, some of those books, like the Maccabeans and the books of wisdom, they believed it wasn't accurate enough to be approved by the Jewish scholars to be put in our Bible. But there were really good history books. And while these 400 years of silence reveal there's no new biblical revelation, and they include many historical events, these included many changes in the rule of the land. And that's how we find out some of these things. So from the ending of Malachi to the opening of Matthew, some 400 years have passed, and God was silent through these generations. And for many of these people who knew the Old Testament prophecies, they must have been wondering, what's going on? I mean, that's like, back then nobody lived 400 years. So from generation to generation to generation, they must have been wondering, where is this Messiah who's supposed to save the world? Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And Micah 5:2, but as for you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, too little among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth to be ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. And now this is talking about Jesus, the Messiah. And Micah actually predicted his birthday hundreds of years before he was born. The promised eternal king from the line of David, who would come, live as a man, and had been alive forever, and whose origins is from the distant past, and eternal. Christ entered history as a man, Jesus of Nazareth. And this is what they say in Galatians 4:4-5. But when the time has fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Jesus was born. He was human. He was Jewish. He was subject to God's laws and fulfilled it perfectly. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, because although he was fully human, he never sinned. His death brought freedom for all of us who were enslaved to sin, and we were adopted into his family. So there were so many things that was leading up to the birth of Christ. It was the timing. It was the prophecy from back in Genesis. It's all leading to the birth of Christ. So why? Why? My big question was why? And what led to God sending his son to us? And for me, I believe it was love. Number three, the love of God. Because he loved you and me so much that he did whatever he could to bridge that gap. Because they say between us and God, there was a big chasm that nobody could pass. But he loved us so much that he had to make a way. How many of you have loved ones that you love so much that you make a way for you to spend time with each other? We make a way. Why? Because we love. If you have children who are away and you are empty nesters, you make a way. Even if you gotta buy dinner out at a restaurant, you make a way to go see them. Right? John and Amy, you go have breakfast with your family on Sundays. You make a way because of love. Not because of obligation or because, oh, I have to. But out of love. God loved us so much that he made a way for you and I to come back to him. Because if it wasn't for these events, and if it wasn't for Jesus coming, there would be no way. And like I said, this would be no hope East Hawaii, because we wouldn't have any hope. We could, you know, fake it, but realistically, there would be if he didn't come. Love. What I believe, love motivated God to send his son. Jesus, motivated by love, willingly came. John 3:16 and 3:17, some of the most famous scriptures in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. From the fall of man, back in the book of Genesis, God has planned out a way so that we could be reconciled to him because of that deep love he has for us. And when the time was right, he sent Jesus to us. The time is right. Now the time is right. How many of you have friends who don't believe? How many of you have friends, honestly, how many of you have friends that are headed to hell? I think we all know somebody. We might not call them friends, yeah? Secretly, yeah, I don't like that person. But there are our acquaintances, they're in our circle, they work with us, or lack of work maybe, you got to pick up the slack, right? So of course you don't like them. Maybe if you got them saved, they would become more productive, knowing that they do their work for the Lord. How many of you know that you work for the Lord? You do your work for the Lord. Yeah, we all do. That's why when we go to work, we should be joyful because we're working for the Lord. But we have all those people in our lives who don't believe. Maybe they live next to us. Maybe they live next to you and they let the dog loose and they poop in your yard. Right? All the more to go and pray for them and get them saved. Right? So they can learn some good ways to live. Now, you and I would say most of us here accepted Jesus Christ, we're saved. And that's not the end. You know, once we get saved, it's not over. It's more like it's the beginning. We have an assignment. It is to go and share with other people how much God loves us and that he made ways so that we wouldn't have to die and live eternally separated from God, but that we could receive him, that gift, and live eternally in heaven with him. Amen? Now that's our action plan for the rest of the year, the rest of our lives. Go tell it on the mountain, right? What Jesus Christ has done. What did he do? He was born a human. He lived for like 33 years. He went to the cross. He was crucified. He shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins, for the redemption of mankind, so that we have a way back to God. And that is out there for all of us. Amen? And that's what we get to do. Whether we like the person or not, the love of God should motivate us to go tell it on the mountain. Now, I'm not telling you go stand on the street corner and yell, because I believe that God wants us to reach our brothers and sisters through relationships. I mean, yeah, I give those guys credit who stand on the street corner and hold up signs and pass out tracts. Man, if God called them to do that, great. God never called me to do that. He called me to go reach my friends, my neighbors, because of the relationship I have, because they trust me as a friend, that they would hear the message that God has for them through me. And I believe the same with you. Amen? You may put away your notes, ask the worship team to come up. Whew, don't forget to see Susan for your shirts so we can get our orders in. If you want to come and feel the material, it is kind of like a dry fit thing. But it might be too late because it might be not so dry right now. Yeah. But whew. It's a beautiful time of year. Go love your neighbors. Go share Jesus Christ. Enjoy this beautiful time. Before we sing our last song, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes, because It is a great time to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you never did, I want to give you that chance to just open this gift, to receive this gift of eternal life through Christ. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? God bless you out there. Anybody else? Anybody else? You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. And they said yes. What a great Christmas present they have received, being written in the book of life. And we know from your scriptures, all heaven rejoices over just one person who repents. And we rejoice also. We thank you, Lord, for showing us all the things that led to your birth. And as we get ready to celebrate, let us invite others to the table to celebrate with us. We thank you so much. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. Give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Whew, would you stand? And we're going to sing. Go tell it on the mountain. That's an assignment for you.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and
down. You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kea, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.